Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship. Our preacher this morning is Mr. David Forrester. There will be coffee after the service. We hope you'll all stay and join us. Just a few notices to remind you that the funeral service of the late Mrs. Rita Evans is at 1:15 on Wednesday, followed at 2 o'clock at Newcastle Crematorium and afterwards at Benwell Hill Cricket Club. The church anniversary tea with entertainment is next Saturday. If you want to join us, please put your name on the list at the back of the church for catering purposes. The coffee rota still has some spare spaces on, so if anybody would like to do coffee after the service, please put your name on, otherwise we won't be having coffee. We'll now do the prayer for today, followed by the introit. Come now is the time to worship. Dear Lord, we gather here to learn your ways, to walk in your paths, and walk in your light. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad we got back anyway in time. There were times during the week before when the ferry from Amsterdam just didn't sail. You know, I think it was sort of uphill and down dale, and they just weren't going anywhere. Fortunately, by the time we got there, the wind had died down and we were able to get back in time. So it's great to be with you, having been so away so long. So, our call to worship this morning. Here we go. We have these technical problems, aren't we? Can you, Bill, can you advance that or not? Just with the arrows on the keyboard. Got it, yeah. I'm going to restart. Might have to restart this one, yeah. There we go. Thank you, Alan. Right. We are called to love our enemies. Memories are important to us. There are many people who have gone before us. They are the pillars of our faith, and Jesus is our greatest example. Let us come together to worship him today.
Journeys. We ask to know your presence and your power as we live each day for you. Amen.
So, what we're going to talk about today, children, however you want to describe yourselves, is about really about changing faces, about how we change, yes, and why that's important. So we need to be aware of when people change, don't we? What we see in people, do we see that they have changed or not? Can we tell if they've changed or not? So I invite you now just to see if you've noticed any change this morning. Have you noticed any change this morning? Have the boys and girls, can you see anything that's changed this morning? Can you? Let's ask them first before you ask the bigger boys and girls. Can you see anything that's changed? No? Yeah? No? The big boys and girls. Yes, right. Yeah. Go on then. Tell me what's changed. Nope. All right. The bigger boys and girls are going to tell us. No, not yeah. Well, that's quite true, Christine. But something has changed. Something else has changed. Just in the last couple of minutes, something else has changed. Yeah. So what's actually changed? Anybody notice? Anybody ever played Kim's game when they were a child? Yeah. Go on then, Liz. The banner's changed. That's not in the last couple of minutes, though, Liz. Anybody else? Lynn's changed. What's happened? Well, she hasn't changed her top.
Taken one off,
yeah. And, you know, well, I thought that was an obvious change. Obviously completely wrong. But when Jesus changes us, sometimes we can't see that. We can see this change, but sometimes when Jesus changes people, it's not always obvious. But sometimes we can see it in the way that they behave, the way that they relate to other people. Yeah? Right. And there's a change for you, just as an example. A caterpillar changing gradually into a butterfly. That's another obvious change, isn't it? Yeah, but it's very gradual. And sometimes that's the way that people change when they're affected by Jesus. They change gradually. But we're going to sing now, before you go out to Sunday Club. And so as the children leave us for Sunday Club, we ask God's blessing on what they do this morning and hope that they enjoy it as they take their leave from us. So may God bless them. Amen. So they're all sprinting out. Did you notice that?
Climbing your holy mountain, hoping to meet with you there. May we be changed by our encounter. May we be strengthened to face the world with renewed courage and faith. Amen.
Our prayer of adoration. Lord of change, of transfiguration and transformation, yet those whose essence remains always the same, we worship and adore you. And we kneel in awe before you.
Amen.
Amen.
We now have a prayer of confession, and if you can read the bit in the darker text. Father, we confess that we are always desperate for mountaintop experiences. We admit that our faith becomes jaded when life is difficult or just mundane. Forgive us, Father, for failing to keep the faith when we descend from the mountain.
Forgive us for failing you when every day life returns.
To walk in with you every inch of the way, every moment of the day. Whether it be fair or foul, knowing that you will be faithful to us, even when we lack faith in you. Amen.
And this is our assurance of forgiveness, and we say this together. O God
of all patience and forgiveness, thank you for bearing with us when in your grace you grant us spiritual highs, but to our pleasure-seeking humanity, they are never enough. Thank you for giving us, for not holding the moment like a divine spark, safe within cupped hands to light the way in darker times. Instead, we let it go and stumble on, yet still you forgive us and raise us time and time again.
Amen.
And a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Father, this time 2 years ago, the world began to change as the pandemic took hold. It set us on a path we could not have imagined, a roller coaster of fear and despair. We thank you for being with us every step of the way. Thank you for the times when we witnessed the best of humanity, for those who selflessly worked to save lives, produce vaccines and keep the country running, for those who raised funds and spirits, for every time you sent someone or something to lift us up, O Lord, we give thanks and praise. For every day you helped us to carry on when the tunnel was long and the light at the end of it dim, we praise your holy name. The world has changed and we have been changed. Let us take what we have seen and learned to light our pilgrim way evermore. Amen.
We come to our readings now, and Leonora is going to read the first one from Corinthians.
Second book of Corinthians, chapter 3. Verse 12, reading on to chapter 4, to verse 2. Because we have this hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the brightness fade and disappear. Their minds, indeed, were closed, and to this very day, their minds are covered with the same veil as they read the books of the Old Covenant. The veil is removed only when a person is joined to Christ. Even today, whenever they read the law of Moses, the veil still covers their minds. But it can be removed, as the scripture says about Moses. His veil was removed when he turned to the Lord. Now the Lord, in this passage, is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. All of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. God, in his mercy, has given us this work to do, and so we are not discouraged. We put aside all secret and shameful deeds. We do not act with deceit, nor do we falsify the word of God in the full light of truth. We will live in God's sight and try to commend ourselves to everyone's good conscience. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And Joan is now going to read us from Luke's Gospel.
Joan.
Is that Joan?
Reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43. And I'm reading from the Good News Bible. The Transfiguration. About a week after he said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow. And the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. The next day, Jesus and the three disciples went down from the hill, and a large crowd met Jesus. A man shouted from the crowd, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, my only son." A spirit attacks him with a sudden shout and throws him into a fit so that he foams at the mouth. It keeps on hurting him and will hardly let him go. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered, "How unbelieving and wrong you people are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I have to put up with you?" Then he said to the man, "Bring your son here." As the boy was coming, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a fit. Jesus gave a command to the evil spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. All the people were amazed at the mighty power of God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joel. We're going to sing again now. God is here as we, his people. Here as we his people need to offer praise and prayer. May we find in fuller measure what it is in Christ we share. Here and hither, all around us, all our varied skills and arts, wait the coming of his Spirit to open minds and hearts. Here are symbols to remind us of our lifelong need of grace. Here are table, font, and pulpit. Here the word has central place. Here in honesty of preaching, here in silence as in speech, here in newness and renewal, God the Spirit comes to each. Here our children find a welcome in the shepherd's flock and fold. Here as bread and wine are taken, Christ sustains us as of old. Here the servants of the servant seek in worship to explore what it means in daily living to believe and to adore. Lord of church and kingdom, age of change and doubt, keep us faithful to the gospel, help us work your purpose out. Here in this day's dedication, all we have to give, receive. We who cannot live without you, we adore you, we believe. What a great hymn writer Fred Pratt Green was, wasn't he? So, encounters. I'm going to give you some examples of encounters. During the pandemic, the story emerged of a North Belfast pastor called Lee McClelland, who encountered God whilst he was in intensive care fighting for his life against COVID-19. As he began to feel a little better, he craved crisps and Coca-Cola, like you do. However, he knew that no one was allowed access to him or to any of the other patients in intensive care. He remembers praying to God about his craving. The next morning, a cleaner came to him and handed him a packet of crisps and a bottle of juice. Not quite the Coca-Cola he was hoping for, but Pastor Lee believes God heard his prayer and he encountered God through the cleaner. He later discovered the cleaner had been a missionary in Nigeria for 14 years. Pastor McClelland created a social media clip sharing his encounter with God. The clip went viral, appearing on many media outlets, and is now in the process of being made into a Netflix movie. He describes his encounter with God as a moment in his life that transformed him. Not all encounters with God, of course, will make the big screen, but many of us can testify to times when we have experienced God in a deeper way. These are often referred to as mountaintop experiences. Anybody know where that is? No? Anywhere know roughly where it is? In the UK? The Lake District, yeah. The lake in the distance might give you a clue. It's Wastwater. So that is on the left there is Scafell Pike, and that view is taken from the top of Great Gable. So yes, mountaintop encounters with God. So we all know the most famous mountaintop encounter with God, don't we? That was Moses when he went up Mount Sinai. And today's gospel story, the transfiguration of Jesus, is within that realm of mountaintop experiences. And often those who have such experiences are left changed and transformed. During the transfiguration of Jesus, the disciples experienced an encounter that they wanted to capture, to hold on to. Jesus was transfigured and became radiant in their presence. His appearance was transformed. The disciples got a glimpse of the glory of God. And Peter wanted to capture and mark the occasion. He suggested they build shrines for Jesus and the visitors. However, the truth is, they could not remain in this place. Mountaintop experiences do not last. You have to come down sometime. The cloud and the two great pillars of faith disappeared, and it was time then for them to descend the mountain. Now, I can relate to that. As a young man, I was a climber. I climbed hills and mountains just because they were there. Not that one. Just because they were there. I climbed rock faces for much the same reason. When climbing mountains, even if climbing with others, there was solitude and the appreciation of what was around you. The wonders of creation, apart from us being there, usually, hopefully, on a sunny day, although in Britain it can change, you know, in seconds, but most of the time all you could hear was birds singing. And once the top was reached, I would spend some time there listening to the birds singing, doing nothing else but listening to the birds singing, looking at the view and feeling very close to God. Often, as is the way in mountains, that view can be swallowed up by cloud as it sort of leaps over and grabs you. And a nice sunny day quickly becomes very cold, very murky, and that transformation on its own can be breathtaking. And there is no alternative then but to start the descent. Now, before the pandemic, I visited the town of Lübeck in Germany, which is, Lübeck is largely on an island, and it was the headquarters of the German Hanseatic League back in the Middle Ages. And I wanted to visit the very large churches there. First, I visited the once Roman Catholic Cathedral, which is a big building in its own right. And then I visited St. Mary's, the cathedral church of the Protestant Hanseatic League. And Lübeck was the capital, that was their capital. That cathedral church was called St. Mary's and was built on the highest point of the island. It took 100 years to build it, between 1250 and 1350, and is the third largest church in Germany. It took the RAF precisely one night to destroy it, Palm Sunday, March the 29th, 1942, and it took 43 years thereafterwards to completely restore it. So that's it, after the raid. That was during the raid. That was after the raid. And you can see the bells fell and have been left where they stayed. There is the wrecked nave, and there is the rebuilt one on the other side. It is a stunningly beautiful church. And there it is rebuilt. And the devil has been thrown out of the church, and he has to sit on a stone bench outside, and he's not allowed in. So there he sits, and you can sit next to him if you want to, if you you know, he can't do you any harm. Of course, it now has new bells, and is although Lübeck is not itself twinned with Coventry, St Mary's is twinned with St Michael's Coventry, probably for obvious reasons. So having seen the pictures of destruction, you know, I couldn't believe, you know, what I'd seen. And within the church, there's a little chapel off to one side. In many languages, it says, please do not take video or audio or photographs in this area. And there are stewards wandering around to make sure that you don't. It's a place provided for private prayer. And having seen the complete destruction of this church and then the rebuilding of it, I went into this chapel and to pray in silent prayer. And my prayer really just asked the question, why? Why did this beautiful church have to be destroyed? And the Germans largely believed it had been in revenge for Coventry. And I heard a voice say to me, because I had to die to be raised again. And I looked around immediately to see if someone was there, but I was completely on my own. And I was completely transformed by this. I wanted to tell everybody, but perhaps prepared by the experiences of Peter, I only told Lynn. Then we went back to the ordinariness of our daily lives. So when Peter, James and John came down from the mountain, they were approached by a father whose son was being demon possessed. They were flung back into the mess and ordinariness of life, back into reality. It's important that we hold on to these moments when we felt God showed up, or is it moments when we opened our eyes to see clearly. Mountaintop experiences are to be treasured, whether they're on a mountaintop or somewhere else. The American missionary minister and writer Victor Raymond Edna once said, never darken the doubt, and never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. As pilgrims of faith, we will encounter God, and such moments will transform us. But we must also remember that Jesus is not only found on the mountaintop, he takes ordinary, mundane, everyday moments and transforms them. Amen.
And now we have our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. O God of healing and holiness, we bring before you the leaders of our world in need and ask that they would have the discernment to listen to each other and to you, that there may be justice and peace, not war. And we especially think of the troubles in Ukraine at the moment. We bring to you the leaders of the church and other religious organisations and communities and ask that they would have the discernment to listen to each other and to you, that there may be vision and unity. We bring to you those with responsibility for healthcare, doctors, nurses, administrators, ancillary workers and more, and pray that they may be strengthened and encouraged by encountering you in their work. We bring to you those with healing needs, especially all those who used to worship with us and now find themselves housebound, and pray that they will hear you and feel peace, that they will encounter you and feel healed, that they will know you and feel loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Now, closing hymn is, I think, a favourite. Shine, Jesus, shine. Father, thank you that you are transforming us every day. We pray that not only will we have mountaintop experiences, but also that we will know your presence with us in our everyday and ordinary moments. May we be continually astounded at your greatness, and may it show in our lives. Amen.